I bet you've got somebody like this in your life. It's that one person, no matter what the problems are that come their way, they reply with typically two words. What if? Well, I want to introduce you to one of the people in my life that's like that too. His name is Aaron Rowe. Now, Aaron works for Deloitte Consulting. He works for the office of the CTO, and his title is Managing Director of Product and Solutions. The thing I love about Aaron is that he doesn't let problems get him off track. He likes to look at what's going on, find those friction points, and help solve what's going on. In fact, it's not just when one what if comes up, but when multiple questions comes up, it's he really shows and shines. You want two great examples? Aaron was heavily involved in what was called Deloitte University based in Dallas, Texas. Deloitte is this incredibly beautiful training campus for Deloitte employees. And the technology that's infused throughout is amazing. Second thing, he actually was a leading influencer on an application that Deloitte put together called Deloitte Magnet. This is actually the integration of presence and space of individuals within smart buildings. Now, we have some of these applications in market now, but this actually came to market within Deloitte 5-6 years ago. So he was way ahead of the curve on that. This is one of the fun conversations I enjoy having, talking what if with Aaron Rowe. My name's Craig Durr. I work as a researcher and analyst in the field of workplace collaboration. Now, I'm in this great spot where not only do I get to consult with the companies that produce the technologies, the devices, and the services that enable workplace collaboration, but I also get to talk to the end customers and even the channel partners that are helping to try and figure out the solutions to the problems people are seeing in their workplace environments, the use cases, the challenges, the things that just aren't working right. It's a great place to be. I like the idea that I get to help bridge what takes place between end users and the companies that are making the solutions. So why not? Let's talk more about it. In fact, let's talk about collaboration. All right. Hey, everyone. How are you doing? This is Craig Durr. I am here to talk about collaboration with my good friend, Aaron Rowe from Deloitte. Aaron, how are you doing?
Doing good, Craig. Good to see you, man.
So I'm still chuckling because just now in the green room, I was asking you to explain to me your title. And as my eyes were glazing over, you had this really funny, this is my unofficial title. Will you share that unofficial title again? I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. So my elevator pitch is my role is to be the chief problem solver for our IT organization. So, you take anything that seems like the most complex problem people would run away from, and that's when I get excited. I'm like, all right, you know, they said it can't be fixed. Let's go figure it out.
So I love it. Actually, Aaron, let's give some history. You and I actually met each other at this point in time. It was probably about, gosh, I almost want to say 7-8 years ago when I was leading a product management team at Polycom, and we had a chance to visit Deloitte University, what you guys call DU, down in Dallas. It was a beautiful facility. Tell me about that facility again and what you did to build out there. You were very proud of that, and it's still a wonderful facility.
I'm still proud of it. And when I walk in, it's like, yeah, this is my home. So Deloitte University, I'll give you the high level. It was 600,000 square feet, 800 classrooms, 800 guest rooms, wow. 35 classrooms, a ballroom, a junior ballroom, five-star restaurant and resort. So, you know, if you think about it, it's a resort that no one else can go to. I think it's what Forbes called it.
Yeah.
So the best resort no one will ever be able to attend or something like that. And then since then, so that was 11 years ago specifically that we opened it. And since then, we've started a new expansion. So 600,000 more square feet. 600 guest rooms and 24 classrooms.
Wow.
So if you think about it and you remember it, so it was roughly quarter mile long from one end to the other.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to be roughly seeing I would guess a mile long building.
That is multiple crazy.
Buildings.
That is
six or seven buildings. So.
That is like here in Austin, like the Tesla cyber factory that's coming up. That's a mile long to walk. But what was beautiful about that was You were so passionate about the collaboration technology that we saw in there. And that's where you and I connected. Everything from when you first walked in and you had that video wall that I can't remember how long it was, but it was incredibly long and interactive.
It was the largest media wall.
Was it?
In North America.
Wow.
When we opened up the facility. I was so proud of that title.
And then we got into the classroom environments because the purpose of this is to bring in the employees, junior associates, new associates, and help train them on how Deloitte works, as well as to use it for Tiger Team projects and War Room projects. So what you had was this mass network of collaboration devices. And the rooms actually was what was impressive. Because not only were you dealing with traditional conference rooms that had one camera, one speaker, one microphone, you had multi-purpose rooms. And with movable walls, movable technology. And I felt at that point in time, you personally were the cutting edge person really seeing what the future can hold for collaboration. It was really powerful at that time.
Yeah, it was. We always set out to set the bar high on what's expected. What's interesting about those rooms was they were never intended to be a video. They were always intended to be an in-person experience. However, fast forward to the pandemic, we had to really change up what we were doing, how we were thinking, how we would, you know, do those same in-person sessions with a remote audience. And so a lot of that technology we put in there was used for those reasons. We also put that technology in knowing that we may need guest speakers to come in who couldn't travel. You know, and we've done a number of those from, you know, Iceland into DU. Experiences. So.
Right. You know, in my mind, you are what I call the what if guy. You look at these problems, like you said, and you say, yeah, but what if I could bring in this person remotely to help educate this group of 30, 40, 50 professionals? What if I could move that wall? And then the back end for all our pro AV audience geeks that might be watching, you're like, what if I can run this all to a single closet, all on one floor and manage it remotely from, you know, a state away or a country away? It was some pretty phenomenal stuff.
Yeah, and we're actually doing that now, right? We're really thinking forward on, if you think about those old rooms that we built, every room had a rack of equipment,
yeah,
you know, 6 feet, 7 feet tall,
yep,
needed its own power, needed its own air conditioning, those type of things. You know, now we're really thinking software,
yeah,
right? Like, what can we do with software? How can we leverage software? And so we've actually prototype this, thought it through, and we believe, well, we know, it's not a belief, we know we can deliver three multi-purpose classrooms with one rack of equipment. We believe we could deliver all 24 new classrooms with one rack of equipment. However, I still have business continuity and other things, so I'm going to settle at, you know, three classrooms with one rack of equipment.
Yeah.
With the goal of, you know, hey, let's really think forward what that could be down the road.
I mean, this is where you and I were sitting down at Enterprise Connect, and you're like, Craig, I'm thinking about this in a software-defined network kind of mindset. And you were taking this other technology concept and trying to apply it here to these distributed collaboration things. But hold on. I want to pause a second. We're diving in, and I need to have people understand, who is Aaron Rowe? How did you come to become this curious, well-informed guy who has access to these resources, take these what-if moments and really explore with them? That's the cool thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you think about, like, my background, before I joined Deloitte, I was one of the core team members that built the first telepresence product.
Wow.
You know, right? So we built our product starting, in the 90s with Scott and Rebecca, David. And the whole idea was really, like, how do we take this in-person session and make it feel like, through technology, we're in the same room?
Yeah.
So if you remember those days when we launched telepresence, that was a needed problem. Like, prior to that, video conferencing lived on a 27-inch tube TV, not a flat panel, right? So I'm dating myself, and my hair is probably dating myself as well, so I'm allowed to now, right? You know, the cameras weren't great. Everything was standard definition. And now we bring forward telepresence. And not only did we bring forward telepresence, high definition came in at that time. And so we sold that company to Polycom 2007. And then from that point forward, I started helping service providers figure out how they're going to manage and how they're going to support telepresence.
Right.
Deloitte was my client through all of those. And I was working at Nortel at the time. I think we know that story, how that plays out. Deloitte said, I'm not going to follow you to another company. We need video conferencing fixed. And they brought me on board to fix it. If you can believe it, that was 15 years ago.
Wow.
So I've been with Deloitte 15 years, and I've started with, let's fix video conferencing to, I need you to now deploy Skype, and then I need you to deploy email in the cloud, and it's just kind of continued to grow from there.
Right.
And so, you know, I would just say, give me the hardest, most complicated problem and run with it. And that's what we've done.
That's perfect. I love it. I love the fact that you are so passionate about what you're solving, what you're figuring out. Now, let's talk about the premise of what we're talking about. The show here is the idea that people like yourself sit in this great spot in between your end users, that your stakeholders, your clients, your customers, and those vendors as well, too. And let's just define this. You mentioned something to me really interestingly, is that you've been having so much success internally at Deloitte that they've turned to you and said, hey, we need to take some of these solutions you're putting in place for us and help us do it for our Deloitte clients as well, too, right? So your user base of who, the problems you're trying to solve, the benefits you're delivering is not just the Deloitte employees, but it winds up even being some of their clients and customers, too, into these multinational companies, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's several advisory boards I sit on. I believe my role on those advisory boards is to challenge the suppliers to think forward, right? I believe customer experience is paramount. And so, I mean, every organization is now creating customer experience officers, right? They're focusing on what's the experience for our clients? What's the experience for our internal clients? Even in our own IT organizations right now, we're creating a CXO. Focused on what will the internal experience be across all of technology for Deloitte and internal. So when I'm talking to our clients and we're talking through their problems, you know, a lot of times they want to go straight into what's the right hardware answer?
Yeah.
What's the right platform answer, right? Like, and you can take me deep and I can take them deeper, you know, on one versus the other. But the truth is none of them win if people won't adopt it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I've come back to, right? When I look at, like, if we make a decision, will it adopt, right? Does it show value back to our organization, or does it show us, you know, another element of technical debt that we're going to have to manage in 3 years from now?
I love it.
And so those are the key things I'm really thinking about as we go forward.
So the idea when you're talking to these people is put the technology aside. Are your end users going to pick it up? Are they going to make this part of their daily workflow? It's almost as if you're trying to say, think about those friction points and does it solve the friction? Forget about what lubricant, what oil I provide to you. Are we solving those friction points, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the big one. Friction points is a great word, and I probably will start using it now that I've heard it.
Okay.
You know, I always thought like barrier to entry
is
kind of how I think, like, how hard is it going to be to use? How easy is it going to be to use? You know, will people use it or will they just ignore it?
Yeah.
And that's actually what drove our Magnet app that I showed you at Enterprise Connect.
I'm glad you asked about that. I was going to queue that up to talk about that in a second, but let me queue up how this came about. I was fortunate enough to be presenting at Enterprise Connect about something I call workplace experience. And these are the platforms that are helping people bridge and remove those friction points when employees come in. Everything from reserving a conference room to a desktop to seeing if someone is there on site that they want to meet with. To other things as well, too. And I was talking to you about the presentation, and I said, look, there's some great solutions from Zoom. Microsoft is coming out with Places and some other things. And you slyly pulled out your cell phone and said, Craig, you mean something like this? And you showed me something there. Tell me about that.
Yeah, and I'm proud of Magnet, right? I've been part of that team that's built this. Here's the cool thing. We geofence all of our offices. When I get within 25 feet of the office, or maybe even closer, it welcomes me to the office. And that's cool. And that was kind of our start. Like, let's start with, you know, let's just like let people know it's our office. Now it's my badge into the office.
Yeah.
You know, when I walk in the doors, you know, the first thing I do is wonder, where am I sitting at today?
Yeah.
And it tells me, it says, hey, you're sitting here, but your friends are on this floor. Do you want to sit by them? Right. And so it's those intuitive things like, hey, how to know who my friends are. That's a little creepy. Well, you know, we're using some of the AI and some of our tools that we have available to us today to help us really identify, like, who do you collaborate with on the most? Who are you emailing? Who are you messaging in on your productivity apps and those type of things? And that actually data helps you realize it. So I'll give you a story. I walked into Roslyn, which is in outside of Arlington, Virginia. I walked into the Roslyn office, opened up the app, trying to figure out what floor we were going to. As I'm walking to the floor, I'm looking to see who else is in the office, knowing that I've got friends that live in that area, hoping they were in the office.
Yeah.
But what I found was two of my friends who live in Connecticut were actually in the office. And I'm like, holy cow, Beth and Rebecca are in the office. So I message them. I'm like, hey, guess what? I'm in the office too. You guys want to grab coffee? You know what happened in that one coffee break? And this is really cool. We solved some really complicated privacy problems that we were trying to figure out.
That's perfect.
I mean, like 15 minutes, a collision, and we solved real world problems.
Yeah.
So those are kind of the things that we look for in Magnet. Where Magnet's going to go is it's going to launch our conference. You know, the tablet on the table will become a thing of the past someday. You know, people will walk in with their mobile device, launch my meeting, and this device has all my identity.
Yeah.
It's got my access management. It knows who I am. It knows how to gather my files that are stored in the cloud. And so essentially my device becomes my key, my token to everything I need it to do for me in the future.
That's great. That's great. So in that own experience, here's an opportunity for you to sit back. Let's talk about how you were kind of in those customer advisory roles. You found a problem and solution based upon your end users. You wind up mapping to a solution. There's probably some great lessons there. How would you share those lessons with other technology providers, the vendors and suppliers that they can maybe leverage? I mean, did you start with the problem statement? Did you start with the idea of pure exploration and play and trying to figure out, I've got this great technology and I think I can pull some interesting things in? How'd that come together?
Okay, so we looked at how many people use Uber.
Yeah.
At the time when we started building the product, right? You couldn't go anywhere without hearing about Uber. Uber's the best thing in the world, right? I don't have to get a taxi anymore. I don't have to call a car service. It's there. You know, those were the at the time, the thinking, right? Like, what makes that product so, you know, attractive?
Right.
Why is it so easy to use? You know, and then we were also looking at our adoption of our offices. You know, there was real problems that we were looking at the time. Mm-hmm. People were booking conference rooms, mostly because they didn't know where people were going to be.
Oh.
They would book a 20-person conference room for what actually needed three people on that one office and one person in, you know, at the time, like seven or eight other offices. And so that was kind of the one problem we were looking at.
Yeah.
But it's ultimately like, you know, how do we drive a great experience? How do we drive a great guest experience when they walk into our offices? And we backed into it from there, just really challenging ourselves to think through, you know, what are the problems we're trying to solve? And then how do we leverage technology to fix them? The answer is not always technology.
No, I'm sure. Was it wound up being an iterative process? I mean, some, you know.
Oh, yeah. Magnet, we've been using Magnet, gosh, I'm going to say like 5 or 6 years now.
Oh, wow.
So the product just continually evolves and grows. You know, it's won us several CIO awards, and I'm sure it'll continue as we continue to do the things we're doing with it. But it's definitely, you know, a cool product.
I like that. I've already kind of give you a name. To me, you're the what if guy. And I think that's a little bit of like the art of the possibility that I think you can lend into some of these situations. You know, to that specific problem, this is the way I've been starting to talk about it. People are challenged with this term return to the office. And I think the focus on the physical place is if that can be redefined. So I'm starting to educate people and say, don't talk about it as return to the office. Talk to it about return in person. When and where do you want to meet in person with someone? That the when and where, the office part, will fall into place. Naturally, offices wind up being a great asset for businesses for people to come and meet. They can provide assets. They can provide, you know, all the capabilities they need to make them productive, comfortable, and what have you. So it's a natural answer there. But don't lead with that as the answer. Kind of going back to your idea, it's we want to return to in-person collaboration. When's it important and where should it take place? It sounds like that's a little bit of what you backed into there as well.
Yeah. And, you know, we've coined a couple of phrases as we've thought about our offices.
Oh, tell me about them. I love phrases.
Yeah. I mean, one, I don't know if we've officially adopted it or not, but what I like is don't commute to compute.
Yeah. Yes, I heard that. Yeah.
Like if you're going to sit in your, you know, in your domain and just, you know, work on your keyboard all day long, you know, you probably don't need to go to the office. But at the same time, there's so much value in the collisions when you walk into the office. We had a strategy session not too long ago where we were taking all of IT through, like really connecting them to the strategy. And we felt like it was important to bring them in. So we asked everybody to go to your local office. We hosted these meetings kind of all over the major cities in the country and then one virtual.
Okay.
Here's the coolest thing that happened. I'm in the office. I'm leading these sessions. I'm seeing my friends that I haven't seen since before the pandemic. Greg, I mean, people were crying.
Really?
We were talking about friends that didn't survive.
Oh, right? That's like, awful. Yeah.
Like, you know, like those were the real things, right? But at the same time, we were talking about the happy moments with those people and what those people did, right? So, you know, there was smiles and tears and laughter. But then you walk down the hallway and you bump into a friend and you have that collision.
Yeah.
Not the one where you drop all the papers, but the one where, hey, I haven't seen you in so long, what's going on? And you hear about that problem. Like I was just talking to you about, you know, with Beth and Rebecca, right? When I saw them, we were able to identify a problem we were trying to solve. We didn't plan to get coffee and talk about any problems. We planned to get coffee and talk and hang out, right? But those collisions that happen, and you think about like pre-pandemic when we were going to the office, that 5 minutes before the meeting started, you solved real problems. Right? When everybody was like rushing from one end of the building to the other end of the building to get to that conference room, you had a conversation about life, about maybe it was a car, maybe it was about something else, but that conversation really connected you to the person. And now we live in this world where we're always in disconnected mode, even though we're connected.
Yeah, yeah.
I call it disconnected mode, right? Because you get disconnected from the culture, you get disconnected from each other.
Right.
All of a sudden it's like back-to-back Zoom meetings or Teams meetings or Google meetings or whatever else you're dealing with. And you're sitting there like one to another to another to another. You never have time. I mean, like literally sometimes you have to go, I just need 5 minutes to go to the bathroom. Right?
The bio know? Break. But you're right. And it's one of those challenges I think companies are tackling. And it sounds like you guys are making great progress. It's the softer skill sets around people working together. For me, I talk about it in terms of culture, and it sounds like that's what you're developing, is the opportunity for people to connect on multi-levels, multi-facets, which actually make it a more enriching, rewarding experience. That's great. That's good.
Yeah.
Well, we're at this interesting point in my conversation with you. This is where I go to my trusted talk show, late-night talk show host questions here. I don't know if I told you about this here or not, but I'm going to hit you hard on this, okay? I got three questions for you. These may or may not be serious questions. I can't be responsible for them because we had an official writer over here write them and send them over.
Okay.
His name is Chat, and his last name is GPT. But
okay. This
is what we're going to do. I've got some questions for you. I'm going to put you on the spot, and I want to know what you're thinking about, top of your mind. You ready? Here is the first question. You ready?
Yep.
What was the most creative virtual background you've seen in a meeting, and did it spark inspiration for you or total disgust? What was that? What was that background that really?
The background. I didn't see it with my own eyes, but I saw the video of it. Someone created one of a image of themselves frozen and changed their name to Connecting. It was actually, I guess, a student in the high school that did it.
Yeah.
So they could get out of class during the pandemic. So that's probably my answer.
You know, I have a similar story, and I promise you this is a sincere story. My little one was in kindergarten when the pandemic started, and they're on Zoom call. And the one thing that happens there is this. All the little kids, all you see is their nose coming over the camera. So that's about all they could do. Well, these kids started figuring out that you on your iPad, you can click and do a screen capture. They started putting up that image of the screen capture. And so it looks like the kids are just all sitting there paying attention in class. Meanwhile, they stepped away and went and played the rest of the house. So it was a similar thing there. Okay. All right. I like that one. We're going to go here now. What? Here it is. Okay. If you had a movie character, give a pitch for what you do at Deloitte. This is you, Mr. Problem Solver, Mr. Fix-It, Mr. Wolf, Mr. whatever name you want to be. Who would that movie character be capturing the essence of Aaron Rowe at Deloitte?
I'm going to go with Doc from Back to the Future.
You want to be the crazy wild-haired guy? Is that what you want to be?
Yeah, I don't have any hair, so why not?
Of course, Marty, we can do this. We can go through time. We just need to fix the flex capacitor. I kind of gave mine. I think you're Mr. Wolf. I know it's a little bit different type of topic, but you're the fix-it guy. We bring it in. You bring it in when you get things done. I don't know. Marty McFly. I can see that one. I can see that one, Doc. Okay. All right. Here you go. Last one. What is your one unspoken rule of when you're on a meeting and you've broken it but gotten away with it? So I'll give you what I mean by this as an example. People have often said, I am wearing pajamas during my Zoom meeting and during a conference call. And their one rule is don't stand up so people see your pajamas, but all of a sudden they stand up and they see their pajamas. What is your one thing that you do right now in your virtual meetings that you kind of have there hidden away? Is there something in front of you? Is there a cup of coffee? Is there, are you jumping between meetings and going and jumping in the swimming pool there in Tennessee? What are you doing right now?
I have jumped in my swimming pool between meetings. I mean, what I ask my people to do is be, if you're going to join a meeting, join and be attended, be engaged. I'm probably the biggest defender of that because, and this is why I close my laptop later, right? Because if I leave it open, there's 200 messages coming in from across the world right now. Like, hey, what's going on with this? What's going on with that? I easily get distracted. So sometimes my rule is I close my laptop, and why I run my own video on a separate system is specifically for that reason. So I can really keep the computing power of my laptop focused on what I needed to and keep video in a video specific place.
That's a great example. Pardon me. I got to finish this post here. I have real quick. I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. Just kidding. Aaron Rowe, thank you so much for your time. This has been great. Truly, I do love your attitude when you go into these conversations, you and I. The childlike what if when you look at these problems and the way that you bring together new ideas and solutions and leverage your resources to bring it to bear is really inspirational. Thank you for sharing. I really appreciate it.
Sure thing. Thanks, Greg.
Take care. All right. Everyone, take care. Next time we'll visit, we'll talk more about collaboration. We'll see you later. Bye.